I was thinking, after Easter, what? This mighty crescendo of Christian faith celebrated around the world, and as we did, you know, wonderful Sunday last week. Well, what's left? What is there after Easter? Well, after Easter is the blessed assurance that we sung about. One of the pains that I have are for people who are not yet saved, and also for Christians who do not have assurance, that really worry every day about whether they're still saved or not, or whether they're going to lose it. And my heart goes out to them. And all of us need encouragement. I have not yet met a person who does not need encouragement. Every one of us here this morning need encouragement. The kind of encouragement that comes from God's Word. The kind of assurance we find in the Word. And so this morning, I'd like to turn with you to a text in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And we'll look at that verse this morning as God gives us assurance. Philippians 1, 6. And to catch the context, let me begin reading at verse 1 of the book of Philippians. Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's what we want to explore this morning and get to the depths of the assurance that's found here in this verse. Let's read it together. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we say again this morning, by way of interpretation, what is the purpose of this verse? Well, it's very plain. It's to provide assurance for God's people. And so, as we approach the text, we ask a question. Why can we live with assurance about our salvation? Why didn't we wake up this morning and worry about whether or not we were still Christians? Because of truth from God's Word, and particularly this verse. It's well worth memorizing and having this verse as a friend in your life. So, why can we live with assurance about our salvation? Number one, because God commences our salvation. Now, the word that Paul uses here is good work. That is the energy. The working that God does is salvation. And we can have assurance because God commences it. Now, if you thought you commenced your own salvation, then you'd surely worry about losing it. But because God commences it, we have assurance. It's begun by God. Let's just trace a few steps. When did God commence our salvation? Before the creation of the world with his election of each of us here as believers, of all whom he will save. That is the guarantee. Do you think the Lord God Almighty is going to choose somebody for salvation and then not save them? Of course not. The election is the guarantee that fixes it. And that's when it started for us. That's when it commenced. And then the election is followed up by redemption, which we have just studied through the death of Christ on the cross. Our salvation was purchased. By whom? By God. If God paid for it, he's not going to lose it. If God paid for you and me, he isn't going to lose us. So there's election, redemption, and then regeneration. When the Holy Spirit invades us, and what does he do? Why, he gives life. He takes us from spiritual death to spiritual life. What else does he do? He gives us faith. And now our eyes are opened and now we can see. And he continues his work in us. And as we live on the earth this morning as Christians, the Holy Spirit keeps working in us. God commences our salvation. Now in the bulletin, you have a quote from Spurgeon, and I'd like to read it as you follow it, and I had it printed out because it'll be easier to follow. A very important statement by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, who has more in print than all other people combined. Now this is what he says. I have heard lately, to my deep sorrow, certain preachers speaking of conversion as being developments. Then that conversion is but if that conversion is but development of hidden graces within the human soul, it is not so. The theory is a lie from top to bottom. There lies within the heart of man no grain or vestige of spiritual good. He is to all good, that is, spiritual good, alien, insensible, dead. He cannot be restored to God except by an agency which is altogether from without himself and from above. If you could develop what is in the heart of man, you would produce a devil. For that is the spirit which worketh in the children of disobedience. Develop that carnal mind which is at enmity against God and cannot by any possibility be reconciled to him, and the result is hell. The fact is that the divine life has departed from the natural man. Man is dead in sin, and life must come to him from the giver of life, or he must remain dead forevermore. The work that is in the soul of a true Christian is not of his own beginning, but is commenced by the Lord. Powerful. Why can we have assurance? Because God commences our salvation. And I noticed the words of Mr. Spurgeon. Not to believe that truth brought great sorrow to him, that others had to think of salvation in such a different way. And then to understand they remain in death. It is by God's grace. And we have assurance because he commences our salvation. Now we go on in this verse to understand we have assurance because God continues our salvation. Here we are. We want to worship. We want to rejoice. We want to acknowledge Christ. And we acknowledge our salvation because God continues it. We cannot keep our salvation. We cannot. And I think one of the worst errors today in the church is the thought that people mouth something of grace for salvation. But then when it comes to living the Christian life, they would teach that it's up to us, that we've got to do it. It's our performance and our works and our being good that does it. No, we cannot keep ourselves. Now, there's a verse in 1 Peter we need to turn to and look at in regard to being kept. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And we're toward the back of the Bible. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, and 1 and 2 John. We're looking at 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 3. Very, very powerful statement. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last. We are here this morning as Christian believers because we are being kept. It is God's keeping power. It is God's protecting power. It is God restraining us and holding us to Himself. And today we hear a lot about hold on to God. Hold on to the hand of God. No, that isn't it. God is holding on to us. And so that gives us assurance. And as we live, we honor Him by depending upon Him and not relying on ourselves. To have faith, the faith that's of Christ in you, the hope of glory. God not only commences, He's continuing our salvation. And it is by His commitment. God is more committed to you in your Christian life than you are, than I. That's what makes it safe. That's what makes it secure. He is holding our hand. And our salvation this morning is not because of our dependence. Now, so many live that way. It's called moralism. Believing that our performance makes us acceptable to God or unacceptable. So if we think our performance is good enough, it breeds pride. If we think we're not good enough, it breeds depression. When the whole thing is for the Lord, and it is because of His keeping power. So we have assurance this morning. We have glory this Sunday after Easter because of what the God is doing for us. He commences our salvation. He continues our salvation, and He completes it. As this verse says, so you have three C's. You can remember that easily. God commences, God continues, and God completes. Now what does that mean? It means that God's purpose for us, for His elect, is to be gathered together with him in heaven forever. Will we make it? Yes. We can be assured of that. We don't have to worry about it because it is his promise and his commitment. Now, we often refer to a prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, as the Lord's Prayer. When really that's the disciples' prayer, that's what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. His prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is in John 17, and it's well worth reading and studying. Toward the end of that prayer, he says, Father, I will that those whom you have given me be with me where I am. That is the desire in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that we be with him. Now that's wonderful. That is eternal life. He completes our salvation because he gets us there. He takes us through this life, through death, into heaven to be with him forever. Now I've forgotten the number of that verse I just quoted. It's 24 or 26 there in John 17. The heart of Christ longs for us to be with him. And we should long to be with him also. He will get us there. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And I've gone to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, there isn't a great deal written about heaven in Scripture, but there's something. And we read of streets of gold and gates of pearl, which I believe are just symbolism. But there's one thing that's real. The thing that makes heaven desirable is that he is there, and we get to be with him forever and ever and ever. And we believers get to be together forever and forever and forever, without sin, without sorrow, without tears, without suffering, without conflict, without war, without jealousy. Just so great. Heaven is a very desirable place. I'll tell you, I want to be there. And I don't want to be in hell. I don't. I want to be in heaven, and I'm thankful that God has chosen me, and that he has commenced my salvation, and that he continues it this morning, and I rest in his promise that he will complete it. Now, how do we summarize this? Here is the doctrine presented in Philippians 1:6. The doctrine of eternal security. Now, we believe in the acrostic TULIP that explains the gospel. T, total depravity of man. U, unconditional election. L, limited atonement. I, irresistible grace of the Holy Spirit. And P, perseverance of the saints, which means we will persevere to heaven. Now, it really should be the perseverance of God in the saints, because that's the assurance. If I thought that it was my perseverance, I'd never make it, and neither would you nor anyone else. There'd be no one in heaven but the Holy Trinity, if it was up to us. But there is the doctrine of eternal security, which is spelled out here, which gives us assurance. Now, in summary, that first of all, This is all of God. Nothing human. All of God. Nothing human. Secondly, it is all of grace. Nothing deserved. Nothing deserved. No reason or merit in ourselves. All of grace. Thirdly, it is all of faith, not works. We are by faith this morning believing in Philippians 1:6. That's faith. We're not saying that we're going to be gooder or do better. We're just believing. It is all of God. It is all of grace. It is all of faith. It is all of Scripture, not human truth. We're not relying on our intellectual ability, on our logic. We're depending and submitting ourselves to the authority of God's Word, not human authority. That's how we can summarize that. Well, how can we conclude, and what application can we make for our lives this morning? We can make none. Only the Holy Spirit can apply Scripture. And so we look at this verse and we say in prayer, "Your Holy Spirit of the living God, convince me this morning of this truth. And give me security, which is spiritual comfort. Give me assurance. Give me spiritual confidence. Give me strength. Make me grateful. And I present myself to you." That's what comes out of this. He can do that for us. If we have had some areas of doubt, which we all have from time to time, if we have been discouraged, if we have been unsure about the direction of our life or the purpose of God for us this morning, be assured and rest in spiritual confidence and have God's security. Security is one of the chief necessities for every human. Being insecure brings about very, very bad behavior. Bad. People do all kinds of things because of insecurity. Criminal, evil, hurting others, being cruel. The person who is quiet can do that out of insecurity. The person who is loud and aggressive and controlling is doing that out of insecurity to try to cover up. And here this morning we can be free. We don't have to cover up anything. Lord, we're living before you, we're trusting in you, and we're depending upon you, and you are setting us free. And we now give ourselves to you. To live for you. What a glorious purpose after Easter, to live for the Lord. Well, we can only pray that God will embed this truth in us this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts this morning. cause this truth to sink in deeply now and for the rest of our lives, that we can trust in you to continue and complete our salvation so that we will be with you forever and we can live now in this present Christian life with security because the assurance comes from you. And we pray this in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.